live from his padded cell high atop Bethel Church, the most heralded, the most despised talk show in all of human history. This is the talk show Hell Hates. This is Pastor Mike Online. And here we are coming to you live from our top secret broadcasting bunker here at Area 52. This is Pastor Mike, and I am online and I'm live with you today. Good to be with you today. I figured since it is the 11th month that I would talk about the number 11. I figured that. Figured that all by myself. If you have not watched, I tell you what I got in my mind right now. I'm going to pull this document up. And I don't know why this is just right here on my mind right now. But if you have not seen this week's Watchmen video broadcast, where have you been? I mean, I put it out Sunday afternoon. And I came across... I was watching a documentary, and let me see if I can print this out. There we go. Hit that button. It's only 26 pages. Why not? Yeah, here we go. All right. Anyway, I came across a documentary that George Knapp is a reporter for KLAS TV in Lost Wages, Nevada. He sometimes fills in for George Norrie, I think, on Coast to Coast AM. George Norrie, who used to be from St. Louis, he had a program here called, he was called the Nighthawk, and he took over for Art Bell. But anyway, George Knapp is the reporter who broke the story about Bob Lazar. Bob Lazar was someone, this was the first time anybody had ever heard of Area 51. Not Area 52, not here. The less famous Area 51. George Knapp broke that story with Bob Lazar. Bob Lazar came out and said, I fly... And he described it in detail. I get on a plane, we land at an airport at Area 51, we get on a bus, and I travel out to a different location called S4. It has these hangar doors that are coated with a sand-type exterior to blend it in with the side of the mountain, so you'd never know it was there. Aerial photographs can't detect it, and so on. And there's these hangar doors, and in these nine hangars are captured craft, spacecraft. And so George Knapp is the one who broke that story from Bob Lazar. There is, if you have a Netflix account, there is a documentary called Bob Lazar, Area 51 and UFOs, or Flying Saucers, or something like that. But anyway, George Knapp did a documentary film in the 90s about UFOs. Bob Lazar pretty much drug him into the whole UFO movement. And... So George Knapp does this investigative documentary on UFOs, and he uncovers a chapter, which I have right here in my hands, from a book. This is, and I featured this in the Watchmen broadcast for this week. This is Department of Physics, United States Air Force Academy. This was in the textbooks for Air Force cadets during the 60s and early 70s. Once it leaked out that this chapter was in the cadet manual was in this particular textbook. Once it leaked out, they pulled it. They took the whole chapter out from this textbook. And it's called Introductory Space Science. And you got to understand what's going on. The Air Force, during this same time, is conducting Project Blue Book. And Project Blue Book was, it was an offshoot from two earlier projects that had been conducted by the United States military. Project Sign, and then Project Grudge. And then Project Blue Book, there used to be a 70s TV show by Jack Webb, who came up with Dragnet and Emergency, if you were someone who remembers the 70s. I grew up in the 70s, and Dragnet and Emergency were my favorite programs. And Jack Webb produced a show, it didn't last, but about maybe a season, called Project UFO Project Blue Book, and it was based on that. But anyway, Project Blue Book was basically the Air Force's investigation of unidentified flying objects. And for the most part, the Air Force wanted to just whitewash this whole thing over, cover it up, sweep it under the rug, and make this thing go away. That's what they wanted the public to do with UFOs. They hired Dr. J. Allen Hynek, and Dr. Hynek was a physicist, an astronomer, and he had no belief in UFOs whatsoever. And they hired him specifically because he didn't buy into it. As he is heading up the research and doing the field investigations, anytime somebody called the Air Force, they would assign a number to that particular UFO sighting case and then send it to Dr. Hynek. Hynek would then send a team out, or he would investigate it himself. And in some cases, it was misidentification. In some cases, it was, hey, I live near an airport and I see lights in the sky all the time at night. Is that a UFO? You know, believe it or not, that's how some people are. And so a lot of it was classified as, this is nothing. These are you know, jet planes. These are commercial, airplane lights, helicopters. It could be a meteor. Hynek is the one who came up with this idea of swamp gas. Methane, swamp gas, glowing, who knows? But he's the one that came up with that. So, but then Hynek, after Project Blue Book, when they shut it down, and Hynek doesn't owe his allegiance to the Air Force anymore, he says publicly, I was told to lie. On several occasions, I was told to gloss this over and whitewash it. He was told specifically by Air Force officials, I don't care what you say, but this is not an alien craft. It's not it. And so that's what he did. He played along. But then afterward, he becomes a believer. And he spends the rest of his life, including he is giving lectures, speeches. Here is this world-renowned astronomer that now he's got all this data and accounts of UFOs. And he's going, I believe it. Some of them were extraterrestrial craft. And he's the one that came up with the classification for close encounters of the first kind, second kind, third kind, fourth kind, so on. And it depends on your various interactions with these things or whatever. So anyway, while the Air Force was running Project Blue Book, trying to whitewash over the whole UFO thing, they're teaching their pilots during the 60s and early 70s. This thing, so this would be all of our Air Force pilots during Vietnam War era. They're telling them in their, what was the book called? Introductory Space Science, Volume 2. It's a book on astronomy, Department of Physics, United States Air Force. They're telling all of their pilots UFOs are real and aliens are real. So here is the chapter headings for that particular book. Chapter XXII, which is 22, Radio Astronomy, Cosmochemistry, Meteoroids, Meteors, Meteorites. Chapter 25 is Micrometeoroids, which are very small, tiny rocks in space. You ever had a rock hit your windshield? You know, going down the highway, you're behind a gravel truck or something like that, and a rock hits your windshield. It crashes your windshield, right? Well, in space, they're probably traveling at, somewhere around 30,000 miles an hour. Okay, so when they hit your space vehicle, they'll puncture a hole in it. It talks about the moon, inferior planets, superior planets, comets, cosmic rays. Chapter 31 deals with experimental equipment. Chapter 32 deals with biological detection of, you know, detecting life outside of our planet. And then it's chapter 33 that they introduce unidentified flying objects. Chapter 33. And the article, I just show little snippets of this during the Watchman broadcast because I'm focusing on the Betty Andreessen case. And I'm going to tell you now what got me sidetracked with Betty Andreessen and her contact with non-human entities, which I'm going to use Bible terms here. These are devils. Devils. Gods with a little g. That's what they are. I have absolutely no doubt about it. And I think the Bible's very clear on this. The Bible has to have the answer to everything that's going on. It is the Word of God. It is God telling us what's important, what's relevant, what is going to happen in the future, in the last days. He is warning us about the deceptions that are coming as we approach the second coming of Jesus Christ, which I can't wait for it. There are days I want to be out of here so bad I can't stand it sometimes. I hate this world. I hate what is happening. I hate the immorality of this world, the sin that is in this world. I hate it. We have a better world coming, and I can't wait for it. But there is some pretty bad, nasty, satanic stuff is going to happen between now and Christ appearing in the air to meet. That's where we're going to meet him, in the clouds. There's going to be some things happen before that. I think we have to be prepared for that spiritually, emotionally, mentally. We have to know what it is that we're dealing with. But that's what these aliens are. So Betty Andreessen willingly goes along with these aliens. She's being, I don't want to call it abducted, because at some point she just goes along with them willingly and entertains them. She welcomes them into her house. I will tell you now, Betty Andreessen was taken by these alien devils to a ritual to initiate her. And that's why I call it the Phoenix Affair. The book is called The Andreessen Affair. That was the book that Ray Fowler wrote about his hypnosis and regression sessions that he had with Betty Andreessen and her new... She has two husbands. The one I didn't pay much attention to, but the husband she's with now is also an abductee. And her last name now is Luca. But anyway, Ray Fowler writes the book called The Betty Andreessen Affair, The Andreessen Affair. And this was given to him by J. Allen Hynek, who Betty Andreessen reached out to. Anyway, I'm rambling. I mean, I'm trying to get this out. Betty Andreessen was taken by these alien devils to an initiation ritual ceremony that involved a real phoenix. Bum, bum, bum. That's coming up. And I'm going to show you from her own words what she described. So anyway, I brought this particular chapter up during that video. And this is, I'm just reading the introduction of the Air Force's chapter on UFOs. What is an unidentified flying object? Well, according to United States Air Force Regulation 80-17, dated 19 September 1966, I was born in 66, a UFO is, quote, any aerial phenomenon or object which is unknown or appears to be out of the ordinary to the observer. This is a very broad definition which applies equally well to one individual seeing his first noctilucent cloud. Noctilucent means glowing in the dark or glowing in the nighttime cloud at twilight, as it does in to another individual seeing his first helicopter. However, at present, most people consider the term UFO to mean an object which behaves in a strange or erratic manner while moving through Earth's atmosphere. That strange phenomenon has evoked strong emotions and great curiosity among a large segment of our world's population. The average person is interested because he loves a mystery. The professional military man is involved because the possible threat to national security. So reasonably, the Air Force is training young Air Force pilot cadets. They're training them and telling them, when you start flying, you're going to see these things. And it was the opinion then that they represent a threat to the airspace of the United States of America. The professional military man is involved because of the possible threat to national security, and some scientists are interested because of the basic curiosity that led them into becoming researchers. The literature on UFOs is so vast, and the stories so many and varied, that we can only present a sketchy outline of the subject in this chapter. That outline includes description, classifications, operational domains, temporal and spatial, some theories as to the nature of the UFO phenomenon, human reactions, attempts to attack the problem scientifically, and some tentative conclusions. If you wish to read further in this area, the references provide an excellent starting point. And then it gives descriptors such as size, shape, luminosity, color, number of UFOs, their behavior, their location, altitude, direction, patterns of paths like straight lying or zigzagging, or associated effects such as electromagnetic things like where they mess with their compass, their radios, radiation burns, different things like that. And it's a very, very, I haven't read all of this, but it's a very interesting read. Now, again, I found out about that chapter and from George Knapp watching an old 90s documentary on YouTube. And it dawned on me, why did they stick the chapter on UFOs at chapter 33? Why did they do that? Because of what numbers mean. Numbers have meaning. And especially in the Bible. Well, I would say primarily because of the Bible. Numbers have a symbolic meaning to them. And I wouldn't study Bible numbers for years. I wouldn't touch it because I thought that's numerology, that's the occult, I'm going to stay away from that. And in 1997, in November, I remember it, in November of 96, I became pastor of Bethel Church. November of 97, a year later, God spoke to me, dealt with me, and said, study prophecy. And I got excited. I'll do that. And then, as you know, and that's when God said, Mike, you're going to read the Bible. I don't want you going out buying a bunch of books. We're going to read the Bible. You and me together, we're going to read the Bible together. And I went, wow, that is... So God wrote a book on Bible prophecy. Wow! I mean, it was like, I never thought of that before. Instead of reading somebody's book on prophecy, I could read the Bible about prophecy. And I got happy. Woo! Yeah! So I did. And as I'm reading, and I said, God, where do you want to start? Daniel or Revelation? God said, open the book. Read it. It's a sure word of prophecy. Everything in that Bible. Everything in that Bible. Hebrews, the book of Hebrews, chapter 10. Jesus said, and he's quoting from the Old Testament, but he says, lo, in the volume of the book, it is written of me to do thy will, O God. Everything that God does is done by the book. When somebody tells you, not everything that God does is in the Bible, they're lying through their teeth. They're only saying that because they want you to believe a doctrine that's not in the Bible. Not everything that God says and believes and is, and God's not bound in the box called the Bible. Oh, yes, he is. God sent down from heaven his word to us. Surely, he told Amos, write this down. Surely, the Lord doeth nothing, but he revealeth his secret to his servants, the prophets. I'm not going to do it, except I reveal it to my servants, the prophets. And so when I started studying Numbers, it was God leading me in that direction. And I had a couple of books that somebody had given me on Bible Numbers, one by E.W. Bullinger, who's written, some of you have the Companion Bible. And then an independent Baptist pastor by the name of Ed Vallow, who's now gone on to be with the Lord. King James. Ed Vallow was King James. And so I read that, but then I said, okay, God, I want to know from you what the numbers mean. What do the numbers mean? How can I find what the numbers mean in the Bible? Well, you find out by reading the Bible. So, like, if you want to know what the number 7 means, Genesis chapter 2, where he introduces the Sabbath day, gives you a, there's lots there concerning the Sabbath day, where sanctification, God, thus God ended his work. And so that kind of gives you the meaning of the number 7. Genesis 7. Genesis 7 is the meaning of the number 7. And one of the things that I felt like God was leading me to was, you know, the number meaning would be in the Genesis chapter. So I thought, now you're supposed to test that spirit. If you hear something like that and you're not sure if it's of God, don't jump on it unless you've tested it. Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good, the Bible says. So I thought, well, okay, well, I'm going to go see if what God's, you know, if what I just saw was in the, so Genesis 1, the number 1 is the number for beginnings. Well, that's obvious. The number 2 is the number for like division. You divide things, you cut it in half, and you have day 2 of creation. You have God dividing the waters above from the waters beneath. Genesis chapter 2, God takes man, creates woman. The two are joined together to become one. The number 3, number, and I could go on, but the number 11 is what I want to get to today. So we go to Genesis chapter 11. There we go. Genesis chapter 11 is the primary meaning behind the number 11. And it's, you know, I'm going to say the word confusion, chaos, disorder. Synonyms or antonyms revolving around that. Knowing versus not knowing. Sobriety versus drunkenness. Order versus chaos. Things like that. The 22 letters of the Hebrew alphabet in Psalm 119. In Psalm 119 is all about the Bible. So with these numbers, you often have opposites. Like for instance, okay, we have the 7 spirits of God. The number 7 is a number for sanctification, holiness, perfection, completion. You have the 7 spirits of God, but then the upside down of that is the 7 heads of the beast or the 7 heads of the dragon. Those are the opposites of the 7 spirits of God. So, or like, say, with number 5, Genesis chapter 5, you have the repeated pattern of death. You have Adam mentioned 5 times in 5 verses. The 5th time he's mentioned, he dies. Seth mentioned 5 times in 5 verses. The 5th time he's mentioned, he dies. Enoch breaks the pattern. Noah breaks the pattern. Enoch did not die, for God took him, and so on and so forth. So the opposite of that would be us leaving this world without seeing death. That's the rapture. So you have 1 Thessalonians 4, the Lord shall appear from heaven with a shout, the voice of the archangel, the trump of God, the dead in Christ shall rise first, then we which are alive and remain. So there's always opposites in these number meanings. So I take the numbers like 11, 22, 33, 44, 55, 66, 77, things like that. 66 books in the Bible. Well, if you believe that, if you believe God's word, those 66 books give you illumination. They give you knowledge. They give you wisdom. They give you understanding. If you don't believe God's word, or let's say you partially believe God's word, and here's how God sees that. Partial belief in God's word is not belief in God's word. That's how God sees it. You can't say, I believe most of the Bible. You can't say that. With God, he does not say, you know, in the beginning was the words. and the words was with God, and the words was God, or were God. He collectivizes it. He takes all of the words of the Bible and puts it into a collective and gives it a name called the Word of God. The whole of the Bible, every jot and tittle, every word belongs to the collective of the Word of God. So you either believe it or you don't believe it, but there's not degrees of believing God's Word. Now, you may disagree with me, you may not like me anymore, you may whatever, but I'm just telling you that's how it is. That's how I see it. That's what gives my life purpose and joy and something to do, is I believe every word in God's Word. Don't understand every word, but I believe it. I believe it against science. Science says the universe is 13 billion years old. No, just a little over 6,000 as far as I can figure. And I believe that. And you'll never talk me out of that. I'll never change my mind. I'll never go over to the dark side. That's what I believe, because that's what God's... Science says there was no universal flood. There was nothing in history that tells us that there was a flood of the entire earth. But the Bible says there was. So that's what I believe. It's not possible that water stands as a wall and for people to walk through the middle of the Red Sea. But I believe that. It's also not possible for dead people to come back to life. But I believe that one too. So I believe it. I believe every word of it. And I'm convinced of it. So for those who believe the Bible, the number 66 books of the Bible, that's your light, your understanding, your wisdom, your knowledge. But if you don't believe the Bible, 66 then becomes chaos and confusion, and I don't get it. I don't understand. I don't believe. So Genesis 11 introduces several concepts to us. And it starts out, the whole earth was of one language and of one speech. Whole, unity. One language. Everybody sprechens the same Deutsch. Everybody habla de Español. You can tell I don't speak other languages. Okay? I don't speak Klingon, I don't speak Vulcan, I don't speak whatever. I don't speak binary. But the whole earth had one language. Now, my personal opinion was that that was Hebrew. Now, am I wrong? Could be. You'll never find it in the Bible. And if you don't find it in the Bible, do you know what that means? It's not important. So if you ever get into an argument with somebody, well, I believe that Sumerian was the original language. No, it wasn't. It was Hebrew. And you go to punching each other in the nose over it, you've just wasted your time. Because God says, if I didn't say it specifically in the Bible, why are you fighting over it? It doesn't matter what the first language was. I happen to believe it's Hebrew, but who cares? Anyway, the whole earth was of one language and one speech. Let's open up this whole chapter here. Here, let me get my can of King James opened up here. There we go. Revelation 9:11. Yeah, we're going to talk about that. That's what I had highlighted there. That's what I added just before the broadcast. Whole earth was of one language and one speech. And it came to pass, as they journeyed from the east, they found a plain in the land of Shinar. This is after the flood. Post-flood. Everybody is all in a collective. They're all one people. And they said one to another, go to, let us brick and burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone and slime they had for mortar. And they said, go to, let us build us a city and a tower whose top may reach into heaven. Now, that number 11, I think it's part of that. The meaning behind the number 11. I mean, in Revelation 9, you have these creatures ascending upward out of the heart of the earth. They're flying up into the air, which is the first heaven. So I think there's something there. And then verse 4, and they said, go to, let us build us a city and a tower whose top may reach into heaven, and let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. And, you know, I've shared my opinion from things I read in the Bible. I absolutely believe man is not content living on the ground. He wants to live as high up as he can. I think man wants a replacement for heavenly Jerusalem, one that's built by man and not by God. Because if man can achieve living up in the heavens by his own hand, he doesn't need God. That's what I think. And so, no, I don't believe the earth is flat and we have this hard glass shell over the earth that's all the universe is this little thin thing of glass. I don't believe that. I believe the outer space, the universe, the heavens, the second heaven is a humongous firmament, which means expanse. I think it is ununderstandably large. I think it's huge. And man wants to live up there. And man's going to achieve that. And whenever man does, God's going to bring him back down to the earth and says, I'm going to judge you. Anyway, so God saw this and he says in verse 11, go to, let us go down and there confound their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. So now we're getting the gist of what the number 11 is all about. That they, let's confound their language. Let's confuse it. So, therefore, verse 9 is the name of it called Babel. And that's a word that sounds like this. Because when you hear somebody else talk, it sounds funny to you. Sounds funny to you. You know, we Americans, we laugh at Chinese people, Vietnamese people, African people, whatever, because the way they talk. They laugh at us for the way it sounds funny to them, the way we talk. God confused the languages. We don't understand it. So it sounds like that's what the word Babel means. Flapping the lips together. Because the Lord did there confound the language of all the earth, and from thence did the Lord scatter them abroad upon the face of the whole of all the earth. Now, and I'm going to say something, and again, I love my brothers who would disagree with me on this issue. I love you. I don't mean any harm to you. I have met some good, godly men who believed in speaking of unknown tongues. They believed that was given to them by the Holy Spirit. Even though they don't know what they're saying, they follow the rules of 1 Corinthians 14. I don't agree with that. And I'll tell you why in a minute. But don't think that I'm just being directly adversarial and think that everybody who does this is going to hell. I don't believe that. I really don't believe that. How can I say something like that? God does make us all different. We're all reading the same Bible. And I had some pastors, God showed me this in Kenya, I had some pastors in Kenya give me scripture of why they believe what they believe, and the Holy Ghost is telling me, Mike, don't shoot them down. And I said to them, I want to commend you guys for giving me scripture of why you believe what you believe. And I don't understand everything that's written in 1 Corinthians 14. I don't understand everything there. There's something there that I just don't quite get. So I can't fault somebody for not agreeing with me on this. But I will say this. To me, the Holy Ghost being present in our lives, the very nature of the Holy Spirit is to give us understanding, not to give us non-understanding. The Holy Ghost gives us light, not darkness. And when someone speaks something and they have no idea what it was that came out of their mouth, I have a hard time saying that was the Holy Spirit. I do. I just can't go along with that. Betty Andreessen, speaking of her, she said in the I've got a total of 3 books written by or about her. During several of the hypnotic regressions, this is where you really get this idea that aliens are devils, was that the hypnotist had her back when she was supposedly like 12 years old, 13 years old, or at a previous time in her life. All of a sudden, a question gets asked, and this voice comes out of her mouth that is not her voice. And it becomes very apparent, and it's in an unknown language, and it becomes very apparent that it wasn't Betty Andreessen's voice. And what it was, the hypnotist said, are the aliens in this room with us now? And they're going, yes. And it's freaked them out, because they thought they were dealing with a situation that happened, 30 years ago. Then they find out that whatever entities she was introduced to 30 years ago were in the room with them right there while they were hypnotizing her. And they spoke in this unknown tongue. It's not just in Christianity that unknown tongues are spoken. In the cult of Apollo, Apollo was the god of prophecy. And when you went to the oracle at Delphi, which was the temple of Apollo, you brought a gift, you paid money to the oracle, you asked the oracle the question, the oracle went into a secret chamber, they had all these women there, and they received this, they would speak in an unintelligible, unknown language. The oracle then would interpret that language and return with the answer to whatever question was asked. But that wasn't the Holy Ghost. Deuteronomy 28, God told Israel, because you will not abide by my laws and statutes and judgments, I'm going to send a nation to you from afar, a nation whose tongue you shall not understand. And folks, we're living in the days of Google now. There is a language that we cannot, there is not an earth language that somebody somewhere doesn't know what it is. But there are devils who speak in a tongue that no one on this earth knows what it is. I am absolutely convinced of that. John Dee, I can't remember who was with him, but he was introduced to these spirits. They were evil angels that told him of a language that they called Enochian language. and that it was the language that God used to create the universe, and if it was taken away from humans, because humans turned bad. If humans had this language, they could create whatever it was they wanted. Which, that teaching shows up amongst those who teach you speak in some unknown angelic voice. Okay? That you can create wealth if you speak in tongues. So anyway, the idea of not knowing what you're saying, not knowing what's coming out of your mouth, is not a blessing of God, it's a curse of God. God confounded the language. So the number 11 represents confusion, chaos, disorder, the absence of order. So Job 10 tells us where that is. Let's see, we go to Job. Job says it's the land of the shadow of death. He says, verse 21, Before I go whence, I shall not return, even to the land of darkness and the shadow of death. A land of darkness as darkness itself, and of the shadow of death, without any order, where the light is as darkness. Without any order. So, and you hang on to that, because he's talking about hell. The shadow of death. A place where light is as darkness. All right? And keep that in mind, because we're going to see it in a little bit. The word confound is found exactly 55 times in a King James Bible. That's 11 times 5. And just, if you just want to have fun one day, look at these verses. Confound with an asterisk. So I'll show you how to, if you're not familiar with how to use the software, C-O-C-O-U-N-F-O-U-N-D, and then asterisk, 55 times. So that word, confound, 55 times, 11 times 5, let them be confounded and put to shame that seek after my soul. Let them be turned back and brought to confusion that devise my hurt. Psalm 71:13, let them be confounded and consumed that are adversaries to my soul. Let them be covered with reproach and dishonor that seek my hurt. So, again, this is just what I see in Scripture. The curse of Babel was the confounding of the language, confusion of language. Language, speech coming out of people's mouths that other people did not know. So naturally people separated. Those who were speaking one language, they all huddled together in one area. Those who were speaking another language all huddled together in another area. And that's how God said, I got to spread them apart. I got to get them away from each other. Because if they come together as one, whatever they imagine to do, they're going to do it. And that's exactly what the world is being drawn to now. We must come together as one. If I've heard this from one UFO person, I've heard it from 1,000 UFO persons. The idea that the aliens are teaching is that everything is connected, everything is whole, everything is one. And we need to all, you know, the aliens come to our planet, they don't see us as Americans or Europeans or British or Chinese. There are no boundary lines. You know, one of the, when we started sending people up into space, they'd look down and say, I don't see any boundary markers. I just see the good earth. Okay, whoop-de-doo. But that's the idea that we all have to come back together again. That's what's being promoted right now. So the idea of confounding and confusion, not a blessing. It's a curse. Psalm 97:7, confounded be all they that serve graven images. Think about that. That boast themselves of idols. Worship him, all ye gods. So I want you to ponder this for a minute. What nation on the earth speaks the language of Latin? the Vatican. The official language of the Vatican is Latin. So, John Wycliffe, the Catholic Church forbids anybody from printing Bibles in anything other than Latin. They say that's the holy language. So no Bible can be printed in any translation that anybody could ever read or understand. There's a reason for that, people. They didn't want people to know what was in the Bible because the Bible had truth and the truth would make them free. People who could read the Bible are dangerous to the Catholic Church. So they forbid the Bible being translated into anything except Latin. So you had, for years, Catholic priests would, and some of them still do to this day, speak the entire Mass in Latin, the reading of scriptures in Latin, and no one understands a word they're saying. That's confusion. That's confounded be all they that serve graven images, that boast themselves of idols. Worship him, all ye gods. Okay? So John Wycliffe comes along and says he sees the corruption that's these Catholic priests. He sees Catholic priests going after widows' houses, and he knows that's a verse right out of the Bible. And he's going, he's got a conscience. He's a monk with a conscience. And he's going, if these poor people could read the Bible or have it read to them in their own language, then they would know that they don't have to turn over their estate to the Catholic priest to pray some guy out of purgatory. So he set about to commit the crime of translating the Bible into English so that people could read it and know what they were reading. And God was all in that. And the Catholic Church despised him for that. Historical fact. They hated him so much that even after he died, they dug his bones up and burned his bones to ashes. And like that did something to him. That's hilarious. Oh, we'll show you. After you're dead, I'll dig your bones up. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, go ahead. Have fun with that. That's what they did. They hated him because he translated the Bible. So that when people heard the Bible in their language, they went, that's the word of God. And it made them free from the bondage of the Church of Rome. Confounded be all they that serve graven images. Oh, look at this one, Jeremiah 10. Every man is brutish in his knowledge. Every founder is confounded by the graven image. A founder is someone who molds or builds statues, idols. A foundry is a place where they manufacture things. Every man is brutish in his knowledge. Brutish means, by the way, the word brutish, see it? It's in the King James Bible exactly 11 times. Imagine that. Every man is brutish in his knowledge. Every founder is confounded by the graven image. For his molten image is falsehood, and there is no breath in them. Breath is spirit. It means there's no life. There's no spirit. It's not alive. It's dead. When people yield their minds and their hearts over to idolatry, the word brutish means they don't think like a human does. They think like a beast. That's what the word brutish means. Every man is brutish in his knowledge, which means basically he's not very smart. He doesn't reason things out. What does Jesus say? in Isaiah 53. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, okay? That's what he says. Now, that's not Isaiah 53, that's Isaiah chapter 1. Come now, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. God is a reasoning God. He wants you to think, which is why my logo is Think Bible. I want you in every situation in life, in every question that you have, every issue that comes up in your life, in your reality, think Bible. Think on these things, the Bible says. And if you don't understand, if you're reading a Latin Bible or a Bible in some other language, you can't understand it. There's no way you can think about it because you don't know what it is. It's like reading Martian symbols. Anyway, the word brutish 11 times. Jeremiah 22:22. Look at that. The wind shall eat up all thy pastors, and thy lovers shall go into captivity. Surely then shalt thou be ashamed and confounded for all thy wickedness. Now, sin. Sin brings confusion. It does. And there are devils that love chaos and disorder and cataclysm and confusion. There are devils that just reel in this. And I want you to listen to me. When you introduce sin into your life or into your home, into your marriage, there's confusion. Absolutely, there's confusion when you do that. God said they shall be ashamed and confounded for all their wickedness. Confounded, confused, just like Babel. Sin brings confusion. Because what happens is you sin. All these devils are telling you things that are not true. And your mind doesn't immediately reject them as lies. And maybe for a short period of time, you're thinking maybe that's true. Stay away from sin, people. Listen, I know we got a flesh. I get it. I understand. You sin, get on your face before God, confess it, get God's forgiveness, let God chastise you a little bit, let him love on you for a while, but he'll bring clarity of thought to your mind. And so that phrase, brutish, beast-like, Revelation 9, in Revelation 9, we have the ascension out of the bottomless pit. Just like in Genesis 11, you have the ascension of man rising up to the heavens. So in Revelation 9, along with this idea of chaos and confusion and disorder and everything else, we have the pit opening up. Remember, the pit is the place where there is no order, where light is as darkness. There's no bottom to it. You just keep falling and falling and falling and falling. And so when that door is open, when that gate is open, or whatever it is, these locusts comes out and they have scorpion tails. Well, the Bible then describes, let's count them. The shapes of the locusts were like unto horses prepared unto battle. That's one. On their heads were, as it were, crowns like gold. Their faces were the faces of men. They had the hair as the hair of women. Talk about confusion there. I'm going to say this in a loving way, but if your gender is confused, your gender is confused. Men should dress and act and speak as men. Women should dress, speak, and act as women do. Anything else is confusion, the Bible says. And these spirits here are the epitome of that chaos, confusion. Are they men or are they women? Well, they have the faces of men, but they have the hair of women. Which is it? Are they male or female? They're androgynous. That's confusion. Omnigendered, pangendered, pansexual, omnisexual. I mean, we have to add so many letters to the LGBTQ thing. Everybody wants their perversion covered and glorified. So you've got even pedophiles out there telling everybody, I love children and I want to be included in this. I want to be a protected. No, it's perverted. It's confusion is what it is. They had the hair of women. Their teeth were as the teeth of lions. They had the breastplate, as it were. Let me underline that. Breastplates, as it were, breastplates of iron. There's your iron kingdom. Wings as the sound of chariots of many horses running to battle. They had tails like in the scorpions. There were stings in their tails. And their power was to hurt men 5 months. And they had a king over them. That's the 11th thing in verse 11. 9-11, right here. Which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon, but in the Greek tongue hath his name Apollyon. His name's different. Different languages, Abaddon and Apollyon. Both of them mean destroyer. But when people have their minds brutish and their knowledge brutish, devils are brutes. They're beasts. And God is going to unleash beasts on this earth. And they're sent here. They've got a king over them, the destroyer. The Antichrist, I believe, is who it is. Jeremiah 50, verse 2. Declare ye among the nations and publish and set up a standard. Publish and conceal not. Conceal is to reveal, or conceal not means to reveal it. Make it open. Make people understand it. Babylon is taken. Bel is confounded. Merodach is broken in pieces. Like a jigsaw puzzle. You look at the puzzle pieces, that's Merodach. It doesn't make any sense. You don't know what it looks like. Her idols are confounded. Her images are broken in pieces. Every man, Jeremiah 51, verse 17, every man is brutish by his knowledge. Every founder is confounded by the graven image, for his molten image is falsehood, and there is no breath in them. Jeremiah 51, 47, therefore, behold, the days come that I will do judgment upon the graven images of Babylon, and her whole land shall be confounded, and her slain shall fall in the midst of her. She goes from Babel to Babylon. That's her name now. And Babylon is still, she's the city of confusion. And any place where you find her spirit, you're going to find confusion. Or let me say it this way. Any place you find confusion, you find Babylon. I've had several instances. The one night in Kenya, was preaching with two other pastors, scheduled to preach. We had just gotten to this city, and I had devils all over me telling me, you got to get out, Mike. You got to get out of here. You got to leave. And that night, I was talking to the other pastors, and I said, I'm going home. I'm getting on a plane. I'm going home. And they were trying to work out a plan of how we could get everybody to the preaching place, but get me to the airport. And one of the men said, I don't like this. This is confusing. I don't like anything about this. And as soon as he said that, it dawned on me what was going on. And I said, guys, don't worry about it. I'm going to go pray. And then God opened my eyes to the confusion, the chaos, the spirits of chaos that was there all over me. And God blessed, God got rid of them. God blessed that whole week, that week. Fantastic week ministry. Never forget it as long as I live. But spirits, there are devils that are, when you find chaos, there's spirits there. And where there's spirits there, there's going to be chaos. Think of, I don't have pictures of this, but I want you to think of a field. In fact, I want you to think of two different fields. One field is a field of rows of corn. A farmer has planted rows of corn. When the farmers plant their corn, they always plant them in almost perfectly straight rows. That's what the man does. How does nature plant things? Never in rows. Nature, when it plants it, one here, one here, one there, one over here. You see, that's the difference. Mystery Babylon, because it's her related to nature, Gaia, the earth. Every place that she is, there's going to be confusion. So when Paul tells us in, here's another number 11 for you. In fact, I was going to put this in my notes and I didn't do it. 2 Corinthians 11. What are we taught here? Another Jesus, another spirit, and another gospel. If he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit, whom which ye have not received, or another gospel, which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him. So, another spirit is Mystery Babylon the Great, and how you can recognize it is it's all about chaos, disorder, confusion. Some people don't like a church service where there's an order and a structure to it. And yet, the Bible says, let all things be done how? Decently and in order. Now, I think we can get, you know, I think we can take that to an extreme, write out a list of what we're going to do in the service, and then if God starts moving in a different direction, we got it written down. You know, I've done that from time to time where God will lead me. You know what? We were going to sing two more songs and we were going to do this, but I really think I need to preach now. I mean, I've tried to follow the Spirit, but even at that, there was an order to it. It wasn't chaotic. Here, I'll preach while you guys are singing and while you guys are taking up the offering. I don't do that. So, 2 Corinthians 11, the introduction of another gospel. Another gospel is going to be, you're going to be removed from the simplicity of the gospel. The simplicity that's in Christ. And whatever gospel replaces it is going to be a gospel of confusion. You're not going to understand it. The gospel of Christ is very simple. Christ died in your place. He took your punishment from you, so you don't have to be punished for your sins. And the replacement gospel is, I mean, think of Kabbalah. Kabbalah is chaos and confusion. You have no idea what Kabbalah is. The terminology, the meanings of words, and this, it's all symbolic. They say that all of the Old Testament is one big giant symbol or metaphor. They talk about the white fire and the black fire. The white fire, or the black fire, is the letters on the written in Hebrew on the the Torah. The white fire is the white paper that the ink was written on. And the Jewish rabbis say there's more to know about God in the white fire than there is the black fire. Meaning that you understand God best by what's not written. And I'm just going, that doesn't make any sense. That's chaos. That's confusion. That's disorder. Let's see here. Jeremiah 51, therefore, behold, the days come that I will do judgment upon the graven images of Babylon, and her whole land shall be confounded, and all her slain shall fall in the midst of her. Chaos and falling go together, by the way. Micah 3:7, then shall the seers be ashamed, and the diviners confounded. Yea, they shall all cover their lips, for there is no answer of God. So think about this. The absence of the Word of God will bring confusion. Churches, families, your life. The absence of the Word of God in your life will The absence of the Word of God in this country has brought confusion to an extreme. So now, and this is going to be rated PG, feminine hygiene products, one company has decided to take the symbol for female off of feminine hygiene products because it might offend, and I don't understand that. I mean, I know you can have surgical gender reassignment, but that doesn't create the need for feminine hygiene products. Am I right? So why should they care? But that's what it's created. It's created confusion. Is it male or is it female? Well, it seems to be something other than male and female. Well, is it white or is it black? Well, it seems to be something other than that. Is that light switch on or off? Well, I couldn't tell. What do you mean you couldn't tell if the light switch is on? Well, I couldn't tell. That's confusion. That's where light is as darkness. Was the light on? You know, I couldn't tell. What do you mean you couldn't tell if the light was on? You go up there, you look, the light's on, or it's not on. Then you know. Yeah, but I went up there, but I honestly couldn't tell you whether the light was on or not. That's chaos. That's confusion. That's like Bill Clinton saying, it depends on what your definition of the word is. That's confusion, chaos, disorder. Isaiah 28:11. I think that's on purpose. God said, for with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people. See, your friendly neighborhood Jew is in a state of confusion right now. Now, I love them. I love them. I pray for them. They're enemies of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I understand that. They hate Christianity. They wanted Jesus dead. They wanted Paul dead. They wanted Peter dead. They want us all dead. I get it. But God loves them. And so must I. But they're very confused right now. Because God sent to them as a lawgiver someone whose speech they had a hard time understanding them. Moses stammered in his speech, and they couldn't understand everything that he said. What did he say? I didn't understand it. And God did it that way. That's why Moses is like, God, why are you sending me to Pharaoh? I am a stammerer. I am hard of speech. Moses, you're exactly the guy that I want. God did it for a reason. So that when the Jew reads the Old Testament, they don't understand it. It's confusion to them. And it's in their language. With stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people, to whom he said, this is the rest wherewith ye may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing. Yet they would not hear. But the word of the Lord was unto them precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little, that they might go and fall backward and be broken and snared and taken. So, Acts chapter 2. What did God do when he poured out his Holy Spirit to those apostles? He didn't confuse their languages. He gave them multitude of languages so that everybody around on that day could understand the Word of God. He reversed Babel. Woo! Somebody say amen. Like the day when you woke up to God. Like the day when you woke up to salvation. God said, let there be light, and there was light, and you understood that you were a wretched sinner in need of a Savior, and you got down on your face before God and pled for the mercy and the grace of Almighty God, and he gave it to you, and he filled you with his Holy Spirit, and you said, God, I want to get a Bible. What Bible should I get? And a lot of you have told me, God said, get a King James. So you did. You got a King James Bible. I love it. Me, I had one and set it aside. And God let me wander out in a world of confusion. And I'll never forget, I was teaching a Sunday school lesson here. I was the assistant pastor here at Bethel back years ago, teaching a young adult class, and I decided that I would modernize the class. So I took that NIV that I bought my wife, and I was teaching out of the book of Acts, and I read it, and a man said, I'm confused. I thought he was kidding, but he wasn't. He was ticked off, because he was the guy trying to convince me that it was King James or nothing. He was right. It was confusion because what I was reading was not what was in his Bible. God dealt with me. God brought me back to it. Okay? So on the day of Pentecost, when this was Acts chapter 2, verse 6, when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded because that every man heard them speak in his own language. Now, they didn't understand what was happening, but they understood what they heard. And what was the connection between Acts chapter 2 and Isaiah 28 verse 11? With stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people. What was that connection there? The word language up with an asterisk, meaning language, languages, 33 times in the Old Testament. That's 3 times 11. Tongue. Just the word tongue. 33 times New Testament. That's 3 times 11. So Matthew 27. Think about it. At about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Do you see what you have here in front of you? You have God's greatest gift to you. aside from his son Jesus Christ, which these two are not separate. You have God showing you the exact words that Jesus said in the language that he spoke it, and then God giving you the translation of what he said. So when someone says to you, when somebody comes to you and says, oh, you believe the King James, I don't believe any translation can be inspired of God, then ask them about Matthew 27, verse, 46? Does God inspire translations? Eli, Eli, or Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, that is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Where did the interpretation of those words come from? Came from the Holy Ghost. We know that because of 2 Peter. Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Verse 47, some of them that stood there when they had heard that said, this man calleth for Elias. Well, that's not what he said. Why did they say that? Because confusion. God had sent a spirit of confusion to rest over his people Israel. And we know that Jesus, there it is, he was quoting from Psalm 22, that's 2 times 11. See how they're opposites? 22 could be Revelation. There's 22 books, 22 chapters in the book Revelation, 66 books in the Bible. That's 22 times 3 or 33 times 2 or 6 times 11. Any combination thereof. Or it could be confusion because Psalm 22 starts out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? See, Jesus was quoting, and in Psalm 22, by the way, it specifically says, they pierced my hands and my feet, they cast lots for my garments. Several things that happened to Jesus on the cross are included in Psalm 22. Had the Jews, when they heard Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, whatever, had it translated for them, or had they understood the language, they would have said, look, his hands and feet are pierced. The Roman soldiers are down there casting lots for his garment. We killed our Messiah. They would have known it then. They would have known it. But they didn't know it. God withheld it from them so that God could then give grace and forgiveness and mercy to a people who are not God's people, meaning the Gentiles. So God put confusion on Israel, chaos, disorder. So 1 Corinthians 14, verse 11. Paul says, therefore, if I know not the meaning of the voice, I should be unto him that speaketh a barbarian, and he that speaketh shall be a barbarian unto me. That's confusion. So if someone's speaking to you, if someone comes up and starts rattling off some language, you're going, I don't know what you're saying. Are you from the Barbary Coast? Are you, what are you African? What are you, Korean? What are you, Chinese? What are you, Spanish? I don't know. I don't know what you're saying. That's confusion. When the words come out of the mouth and no one understands what's being said, there's no blessing in it. So he says in verse 21, in the law it is written, with men of other tongues and other lips. That's Isaiah 28, 11. With men of other tongues and other lips will I speak unto this people, yet for all that they will not hear me, saith the Lord. So verse 22 tells you, it's going to reveal to you, 22 is 2 times 11, it's going to reveal to you what the meaning of the tongues were for. Tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. And so who is that talking about? Israel. Tongues were a sign to Israel because they didn't believe that Jesus was crucified among them and that he was their Messiah. He is the Christ, the Son of the living God, the Savior, the Redeemer, the one Isaiah 53 was spoken about. They didn't understand that he was the rock. They didn't understand he was the Lamb. They didn't understand he was the high priest. They didn't understand he was the angel of the Lord. They didn't understand any of that. God sent them confusion, chaos, being confounded. So tongues were a sign. And when we go to the book of Acts, put it up there. What were they speaking? They were speaking, behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how we hear every man in our own tongue, wherein we were born. Parthians, Medes, Elamites, dwellers of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, in Egypt, and in the parts of Libya, about Cyrene, strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes, Cretes and Arabians. Those are all Gentile languages. We do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. So no, I just don't believe that speaking a prayer tongue out of my mouth, that I have no idea what it is that I'm saying. I do not believe that that is a blessing. I believe it's a curse. I believe it's confusion. Because if I say that, and I don't know what it means, and nobody else knows what it means, how can they be blessed? How can they be blessed? But yeah, that's what that means. Tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. But prophesying serveth not for them that believe not, but for them which believe. And then verse 33, there it is. That's 3 times 11. God is not the author of confusion. So he is the author of order, understanding, simplicity. So if the words come out of the mouth and they are chaotic words and they are confusion words, how can you say that that's of God? God is not the author of confusion. And of course, you know, that again, I love my brothers in the Lord who do not agree with me on this. They say that they're speaking the tongue of angels. Okay. In every place in the Bible where you hear angels talking, we know what they're saying. Genesis 18, the two angels that accompanied the Lord to Abraham, or to Abram. It was Abraham by then. Then they went to Lot and his house. They understood. The angel of the Lord that appeared to Joshua. The angel of the Lord that appeared to Manoah and his wife, Samson's mother. The angel that appeared unto Elizabeth. The angel that appeared unto Mary. They knew that. The one that appeared to Daniel. Daniel understood what he was saying. The only place I find a secret language that only angels speak is the one referenced in Deuteronomy 28. There's another verse that talks about it. A nation's going to come from the end of heaven whose tongue thou shalt not understand, and then John Dee, an occultist, scrying in his scrying bowl, getting in, doing divination, getting in contact with familiar spirits, learns from these angels, these evil angels, about a language that angels speak. It's the language of the creation. If you can speak this, if men can speak this language, they can create whatever they want. Betty Andreessen, with these aliens talking through her, speaking in an unknown tongue. What's the difference between what happened with her and with what happens in a lot of these Pentecostal charismatic churches? What's the difference? That's my question. Genesis 37, look here. Here's where the number 11, you're going to see confusion here. Genesis 37, he dreamed yet another dream and told it to his brethren. This is Joseph. He said, "Behold, I've dreamed a dream, and behold, the sun, the moon, and the 11 stars made obeisance to me." And he told it to his father and to his brethren. And his father rebuked him and said unto him, "What is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and thy mother and thy brethren indeed come to bow down ourselves to thee to the earth?" And his brethren envied him, but his father observed the saying. So why did it refer to his brethren as the 11 stars? It's because when this dream is fulfilled, and I did the math on it, it's 22 years later to the, I won't say to the day, but it's 22 years later exactly. 22, 2 times 11, could be for confusion, it could be for revelation. But in Genesis 42, they're standing bowing before Joseph, and the Bible says they knew him, they knew not him. And he spoke to them roughly. He spoke to them in Egyptian. And even though he knew it was them, Joseph knew his brethren, but they knew not him. Joseph knows it's his brothers, and he remembers Hebrew, but he doesn't want to reveal it to them yet. Joseph is a type of Jesus, people. And the brethren are the Jews, Israel. And right now, the tongues that were for a sign to them that believed not, Joseph's dream when he was 17 years old was a valid dream. He dreamed that they would be bowing before him. And it happened. It was a true dream, but they didn't believe it. They didn't want to believe it. So here they are, bowed in front of Joseph, who is speaking a Gentile language. Speaking a Gentile language to them. And they don't know who it is. And here is our Lord Jesus speaking Gentile language to us in the King James Bible. It's the King's English. But then, so the 22 years, Joseph was 17 when he had the dream. His brothers sell him into slavery. He's in Potiphar. We know that he was 30 years old. We know for a fact that he was 30 years old when Pharaoh calls him up out of prison to interpret the dreams. Because the Bible says Joseph was 30 years old. So then we have the 7 years of plenty. That makes Joseph 37. And then the Bible says specifically, we're 2 years into the famine. Now Joseph is 39. 39. Do you know that's the number of books in the Old Testament? Because Christ was made under the law. So, isn't that something? 39 years old, 39 books of the Old Testament. He's the law. He's the fulfillment of the law. And so do the math. 39 minus 17 is 22. So a period of 22 years later, during this time, Israel is confused. But then Joseph says, "It is I, Joseph. Be not afraid." He reveals himself. Do you know what the first words of the book of Revelation are? The revelation of Jesus Christ. And it has 22 chapters in it. Joshua 10:22. You know what that verse is? Joshua says, "Open the mouth of the cave and bring out those five kings unto me." That's going to be the revelation, I believe, of the man of sin. Because they're in a cave, they're hidden, and they're going to be opened up. It's going to be revealed. Man, I got something to show you here in a little bit. Let's see here. All right. The 11 disciples. "Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted." See, Judas is dead. He's been taken away. He's out, not numbered among the 12. So now there's 11. And when there's 11 disciples, some doubted. They don't know that they don't know that Jesus is rose from the dead. Mark chapter 16, "Afterward he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen." Do you see that? See how the Bible's telling you the meaning of the number. You pay attention to it, how it's used. 11 is for confusion, doubt, belief versus unbelief. Things like that. Luke 24, verse 9, and returned from the sepulchre and told all these things unto the 11 and to all the rest. And it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James, and other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles. And verse 11, look at verse 11. "And their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not." Tales are stories that are not true. He's telling a tale. He's telling a tall tale. "They believed them not." And it's in verse 11 when the 11 believes. They don't believe what there's. I think there's four here. Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and other women. So it's like, could be like the church. Teaching, trying to tell them, "Hey, Jesus is risen." But they don't believe them. And I think that's Israel in confusion. Because you've had 2,000 years, the church preaching the gospel. The Jews know and are aware of Christianity, are they not? They are aware of us. They know that we've added another testament to the Old Testament. They just don't believe it. They think it's a fairy tale. They think that's made up. "Babylon hath been a golden cup in the Lord's hand, and that made all the earth drunken. The nations have drunken of her wine. Therefore the nations are mad." The word mad does not mean angry. It means crazy. It means out of your mind. And the word mad is mentioned 22 times in the King James Bible. 2 times 11. 1 Corinthians 14:23. 1 Corinthians 14 again, dealing with tongues. "If therefore the whole church be come together into one place and all speak with tongues, and there come in those that are unlearned or unbelievers, will they not say that ye are mad, crazy, out of your mind, drunken?" Get ready for what I got to show you something. 2 Thessalonians 2:11. "For this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe," and it's in verse 11, "that they should believe a lie." A lie's coming. There's a bunch of them already here. People are believing lies everywhere. There was an article, I think on Drudge Report, I just caught a glimpse of it just before I started broadcasting today. and it's about people believing what are called deep fake videos. Because computers now have the ability to match voice and using computer graphics to build a face, they can make you think that anybody is saying anything. People, we have built our own deception machines. Basically, our computers, our tablets, and our phones. Because people are starting to generate deep fake videos. It's like these pictures of giant skeletons. You see somebody down in a pit digging out giant bones. Those aren't real. They're fakes. That's been going around since the 90s. And I bought into it at first, and I'm going, then I found the real picture, and I'm going, it's a fake. There are deep fake pictures, deep fake videos, deep fake audios. And how will we know whether or not to even believe what we see on the internet anymore? Right? Strong delusion, they're going to believe a lie. That's in verse 11. Leviticus, strong drink. The phrase strong drink is 22 times in the King James Bible. That's 2 times 11. So God says, do not drink wine nor strong drink, thou nor thy sons with thee, when you go into the tabernacle of the congregation, lest ye die. It should be a statute forever throughout your generations, that you put difference between holy and unholy, between unclean and clean, and that you may teach the children of Israel all the statutes which the Lord has spoken unto them by the hand of Moses. Notice the connection here. Strong drink, multiple of 11 times, verse 11, that you may teach the children of Israel all the statutes. If you're drunk, you don't know the difference between holy and unholy, clean and unclean. If you're drunk, you don't know the difference between them. You are drunk means you're confused, you're disoriented, you're mad, crazy out of your mind. Deuteronomy 29:6, you have not eaten bread, neither have you drunk wine or strong drink, that you might know that I am the Lord your God. When you don't drink strong drink, then you know who God is. When you are drunk, you don't know who God is. Very important to remember. Wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging. Whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. See the connection between it. Strong drink. 22 times. It's the opposite of revelation. It's based upon the number 11. It's confusion. Proverbs 31. It is not for kings, O Lemuel. It is not for kings to drink wine, nor for princes strong drink, lest they drink and forget the law and pervert the judgment of any of the afflicted. Politicians and judges should not drink nor smoke marijuana. And that's one of the problems that we have. We have drunkard politicians, drunkard judges, dope head politicians, marijuana smoking judges, drunkard preachers. Drunkard preachers. You believe that? What was his... Perry Noble. This rock and roll preacher out east somewhere, North Carolina, South Carolina, one of the two, had one of these mega churches going. He's got his band playing Highway to Hell during the church service. He's the one that said, our church services are PG-13. Meaning he doesn't want children below the age of 13 in the adult church service because he's going to use foul language. Turns out he's a drunk. He had to check himself into alcohol rehab. Been a drunk for years. There was a pastor in this town of a King James only church that hated my guts. because I wasn't his kind of King James only. Come to find out, he's an alcoholic. Had been while he was pastoring the church here in this town. He's since moved back to Georgia. Woe unto them that rise up early in the morning, that they may follow strong drink, that continue until night, till wine inflame them. And the harp and the viol and the tabret and the pipe and the wine are in their feast, but they regard not the work of the Lord, neither consider the operation of his hands. Woe unto them that are mighty to drink wine, and men of strength to mingle strong drink, which justify the wicked for reward, and take away the righteousness of the righteous from him. Therefore, as the fire devoureth the stubble, and the flame consumeth the chaff, so their root shall be as rottenness, and their blossom shall go up as dust, because they have cast away the law of the Lord of hosts, and despised the word of the Holy One of Israel. You see, when you get rid of the King James Bible, you have to have a replacement. When you get rid of the new wine, what do you put in the bottle? Old wine, fermented wine. Which makes you drunk, which is why you don't see. Oh, and you hear people say, well, I don't see anything wrong with that. I don't see anything wrong. It's, you know why they say that? Because they're drunk. Spiritually drunk. They don't believe the Bible, the pure word of God. And so their mind is confused. Everything to them is a gray area. Well, they're sleeping together, but they're happy and they're good people. No, it's fornication. It's wrong. It's wicked. God says don't do it. Period. Stay yourselves and wonder, cry ye out and cry. They are drunken, but not with wine. They stagger, but not with strong drink. For the Lord hath poured out upon you the spirit of deep sleep, and hath closed your eyes. The prophets and your rulers and the seers hath he covered. And the vision of all of is become unto you as the words of a book that is sealed, which men deliver to one that is learned, saying, read this, I pray thee. And he saith, I cannot, for it is sealed. They can't even read the Bible. So when you've got people telling you, I'm so spiritual, I'm above reading my Bible. They're drunk. They have a drunken spirit on them. You bring them the words of a book and they said, I cannot read it for it is sealed. It's a drunken spirit that they have. Strong drink, confusion, 22 times. So Micah 2, look at the verse, it's verse 11. Micah 2:11, if a man walking in the spirit and falsehood do lie, saying, I will prophesy unto thee of wine and of strong drink, he shall even be the prophet of this people. Rodney Howard Brown is called the Holy Ghost bartender, introducing the laughing revival. I'm going to show you a video. You get ready for this one. If you have not seen this, it's been probably 20 years since I've referenced this particular video. This was done, I believe, at Life Christian Church in Fenton, Missouri, which is where Joyce Meyer comes from. Rick Shelton, the pastor, I think is in the background here. So was Ellie Mae Clampett from the Beverly Hillbillies. What was her name? I can't think of her name. My girls got to meet her at Religious Broadcaster Convention one time. She's in the audience at this event. This is Kenneth Hagin. I don't know how to play the video. Here we go.
Let me have that chair. Woo!
That's sick.
Ha ha ha!
Here's Kenneth Copeland. Absolute wickedness. Here's the opposite. The word wine is found in the King James 231 times, which is 33 times 7. But it depends which one you're referencing. New wine, 22 times. New wine is unfermented wine. And notice Joel 1. Awake, ye drunkards, and weep, and howl, all ye drinkers of wine, because of the new wine, for it is cut off from your mouth. So you got churches that don't preach the Bible anymore. God won't let them. He won't let them. He cut the new wine off from their mouth. Which is why they went to all these other new Bibles. Why they got into drunken stuff like you see. That's the Pentecostal charismatic nonsense. There's varying degrees of that everywhere. Or you get into liberal churches, or you get into seeker-friendly churches. But God cut the new wine. The absence of the Bible from a person's life is, it's the judgment of God for the sin that's already there. It's not the sin itself, even though it is a sin. You see what I'm saying? I mean, God, how many of us are sinners? All of us. And yet, God did not cut off the new wine from us. That's grace. But for the rest of these people, he cut it off. Haggai 1:11, and he called for a drought upon the land and upon the mountains and upon the corn and upon the new wine. There's a drought of new wine. And it's in verse 11. new wine is found in the cluster. So that's right out of the grapes. When Joseph interpreted Pharaoh's dream, the cupbearer of Joseph saw the cupbearer squeezing the grape juice right out of the cluster, right into Pharaoh's cup, and called it wine. So that's why you got to be careful when you're reading the Bible. When it says wine, is it talking about unfermented wine or fermented wine? Some people say, well, Jesus drank wine, I drink wine, and they'll use that for an excuse. I like this. Numbers 13:23, they came out from spying the land. They came under the brook of Eshcol and cut down from thence a branch. Who's the branch? It's Christ. With one cluster of grapes. And they bear it between two upon a staff. The two that bear the new wine are the Old and New Testament. The two witnesses. New wine is found in the cluster. So that tells you that it's your Bible. The Holy Spirit and the Bible and the new wine are the same. But God cuts off from the mouth of these drunkards the new wine. It's 2 o'clock. I gotta stop. God could have turned us all over and cut off the new wine out of our mouth, but he didn't. And it's not because we're better than anybody else. It's because he loves us. God could have done a lot of things to us, but he didn't, because he loved us. So November, for me, and this is why I'm bringing this number, and I got a lot more to talk about. I'm going to talk about secret societies this month. Lots of things. But this month is sort of special to me. God's done some interesting things in the month of November in my life. Calling me to study prophecy was one of them. November 1997. It's like that's just like a birthday for me. There's a lot of things that I don't know about God's Word. But what I do know, I'm not arrogant about. I'm not cocky about it. I'm just thankful. Thankful that I know the truth. And I'm free because of it. You ought to be thankful. Some of you came out of churches. Talked to a lady yesterday that's where she came from. She came from churches just like that. I've had people call me scared, saying a couple told me that Benny Hinn laid hands on them and they felt electricity and they passed out, slain in the spirit. Are they doomed to hell? No. I think God saved them out of that. God showed them the danger. God showed them where the error was. Now here's the truth. God does that with a lot of people. But just be thankful for all the things that God has brought you out of. Be thankful for those things. Get your Bible out and read it. Read it. Just for something to do, read it. It's a blessing. There's blessings in this book. There's wholeness in that book. There's beauty in that book. And then God clears up the fog out of our life and the chaos and the confusion. He puts things back in order where they belong. I love you. You're the reason why I do what I do. Gotta watch this week's Watchman broadcast. Pray for us. Now, tomorrow I'm going to try to record. record part two of that. So you pray for me, because I don't think devils like what I'm doing.